If you've been with us since January, you know we've been looking at words like purpose and vision and mission. What in the world are we to do? You know, we got the routine of church, we got all that down, but what are we really supposed to be about? What's our purpose? What's our mission? What's our vision? We can take our bulletin and we can open it up. And you see it there every week. I don't know if you read it, but it's right under the Jones Chapel Church of God there. It says, our purpose is to be the church God called us to be, to provide an atmosphere where people can come to know Jesus Christ and find their full potential in Him. You say, well, that's a nice little purpose statement. That's our purpose, to be the church God called us, to provide an atmosphere where people can come to know Jesus and then find their full potential in Him. Then we can talk about vision, mission, purpose, all that kind of thing. In January, we kind of looked at scriptures and narrowed it down to this, the two biggies that God is pleased with and God wants all of His people to do, and that's to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and our mind. To be sold out to God, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. So the first question is, are we doing that? That was back in January. Now we're in March. So as each individual here, we got to answer that question. Am I loving the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, my total being? Then we kept going a little further, and we looked at the Great Commandment. We looked at the Great Commission that we're to be spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Clarkdale, in Meridian, all around our state, our nation, and even throughout the world. Great Commission, Great Commandment, to love each other, to spread the gospel. So that's the second question, are we doing that? Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, our total being, and are we spreading the gospel? So after we got through with that, we said, what's going to help me as an individual? What's going to help us as a church body to do those things? And we said, well, we'll focus on making prayer a priority. Not a new word for us or a new line or whatever. Sounds good. Prayer's a priority. But the question was, are we doing it? We talk about it, we study it or whatever, but are we truly making prayer a priority in our life? And then we get to discipleship is definite. Am I becoming a disciple? Am I learning and growing in the good things of the Lord? On the screen today, you'll see Philippians 3, 12 through 14, and it says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I've not obtained all this. I've not got it all down perfectly yet, but I'm pressing on. And I'm pressing on to take hold for which Christ took hold of me. For what He wants of me, I don't consider myself yet to taking hold of it, but one thing I do. I forget what's behind, I'm straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward. No matter what life may bring, I know who I am in Christ. Well, there's a lot in our society today talks about excellence. Today we'll talk about spiritual excellence. We read a lot of books about excellence in any category you want to read. The bookstores are full of them. The tablets are full of them. And we strive for excellence. That's some companies, they'll have that motto, you know, we're striving for excellence. What are we striving for as Christians? Are we striving for spiritual excellence, or are we just trying to get by the skin of our teeth, or how is it with our personal relationship with the Lord? I hope it is spiritual excellence. You can get a book about excellence in any category, like I said, and a lot of times in America, I believe we're concerned more with success than we are excellence. We just want to have that success thing down instead of really the excellence that we need. So here we are, 2018. We can look at the political scene. We can look at the economic scene. We can look at violence on the news. We can see all sorts of problems. We can see all kinds of challenges. We can see all kinds of opportunities. So what is the Christian to do? What is the church to do? We need to strive for spiritual excellence. We need to make sure that discipleship is definite, that the world sees that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is still part of this makeup of the world, that Jesus is still the subject, that Jesus is still the answer for the world today, and we're about spreading that message to people. Well, there's good times, there's bad times and all that. We know that. But what do we do? We love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We spread the gospel around the world. And we make prayer priority because it helps fit our purpose. And we make discipleship a definite thing because it readies us for His service. And we strive for spiritual excellence. So, three little points today on the screen. A self fit to live with, a faith fit to live by, and a work fit to live for. We need a self fit to live with. All right, can you live with yourself? Some days you don't even like yourself, do you? Huh? You like yourself today? I hope you like yourself. I hope you like Jesus working in you too, but not just the self. Sometimes people are grouchy and grumpy and you say, well, what's wrong with you? Well, I don't know. I'm just grumpy today. We need a self fit to live with. We've got to work on self. Now, you can work on me. Everybody likes to pick at the preacher. You can work on me. You can talk about me. I can talk about you. You can talk about one another. But have you talked about yourself lately? Have you looked in the mirror? Have I looked in the mirror? Have we looked in the mirror that we have a self fit to live with? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Well, what do I see? Then if we look in the mirror as a body of Christ together, what do we see? So that we've got to have a self fit to live with. And that might mean there are things in that self that have to change. That might mean that this Easter season that we have to look inside. That there's battles and there's struggles and there's all these issues in our personal faith with Jesus. It's raining, isn't it? Is it a self fit to live with? And if it's not, you know, hey, we got to change. Well, how am I going to change? Through the power of Jesus Christ. Through His grace we've been singing about. Through His forgiveness. So let's look at self today and see if it's a self fit to live with and see what we can do about that. Well, Jesus Christ majors in changing lives. You still believe that? In changing lives. Jesus Christ still majors in changing lives. Well, does the preacher do that? Does the whoever do that? Does whoever? Listen, the subject is Jesus. Jesus still changes lives if we allow Him to. Jesus is still on the throne. There's still power in the blood of Jesus, and Jesus still does His work well. Jesus is still the answer today. Like the old preacher man said, he said, Jesus is not only for the good for the sweet by and by, but He's good for the nasty here and now. The sweet by and by, that's ahead of us. That's going to be great. We can rest from our labors. We can enjoy all the glories of heaven in the sweet by and by. But what about the nasty here and now? What about all the world offers now? What about all the struggles and opportunities and the challenges of the world today? Well, Jesus is good for the nasty here and now. And we as Christians have to be involved in this kingdom work to make sure we're doing what He would have us to do. So a self fit to live with. Think about that a little bit. Look in the mirror a little bit this Easter season and see if there's anything that needs to be changed in you, in self, and not look at everybody else. Start with yourself. Now, do you have a faith fit to live by? It says, a faith fit to live by. Do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, in the good days or the bad days or the whatever circumstances of life, that I have a faith and it's fit to live by, that I am strong in the faith and that Jesus loves me and the Holy Spirit and God is for me? There's certain things He says for us to do, and we have to follow His plan, not self's plan, not the world's plan, not the university's plan, not the world system's plan, but if I follow what Jesus has said in His Word, then I can live by that faith, and it's fit to live by. I can stand on the faith in Jesus Christ. If it's a good day, I can stand on my faith. If it's a bad day, I can stand on my faith. If everybody loves me today, if everybody hates me tomorrow, whatever it is in your life and my life, if we have a faith, in who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is still the subject. Then it'll be a faith fit to live by. Well, you say, well, you know, hey, we see people get saved and some of them get baptized. And you know, if you've been living 50 years or 20 years or 80 years or whatever, you say, well, some I saw go foul by the wayside. They don't stay faithful, it seems, and that's true. We see people lose heart, but we see some keep going. We see some that's very, very faithful through all the way up in their 80s and 90s to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't throw in the towel. Stay faithful. Be what we need to be. Discipleship is definite when we're a student of the Word of God. A student of the Word of God. Yes, that means you come and you hear a sermon and that's all well and good. That means you hear a Sunday school lesson. That's well and good. You need a small group to help you be accountable and pray for you and love you and hear the Word of God again. But nothing will replace your time alone with God and His Word. Nothing will replace that. The sermon won't, the small group won't, the Sunday school lesson will not replace your personal time in the Word of God. We need it. Now, yes, we need all those other things too, because it helps us in being a disciple and being what God wants us to be. But one-on-one with God in your quiet place, early in the morning, late at night, in the middle of the day, whenever you and God choose, you've got to be alone with His Word and be a student of the Word and live it out every day, what we learn and what we see Jesus doing for us. Make prayer a priority? Yes. Use your spiritual gifts? Yes, on a daily basis, and exercise your faith. The third little topic says work fit to live for. A work fit to live for. What motivates you? What motivated you this morning to get up, to get dressed, to come to church? What motivated you? Your wife make you? Your husband encourage you? What happened? Well, it's going to rain. I'll just stay home. Something motivated you this morning to get up, to get dressed, and come to the house of God. I'm glad you're here. Something last Sunday motivated you not to come. I didn't like that. But a lot of you are back today. I'm just picking on you spring breakers. Something motivated you to get here today. Whatever it was, something motivated you to get here. And I hope we're motivated by the Spirit of God, by making prayer a priority, and I'm in communication with God, by making discipleship a definite thing and being a student of the Word, that it motivates me to be here. Well, I've got to eat. I've got to sleep to stay alive. I'm going to do those things. You know, I got to pay my bills, and this time of year, how great it is. You get to pay your taxes. Don't you love it? Why don't you look at me so mean for? Y'all was doing fairly good this morning to that little statement. Pay your taxes. Part of life too, isn't it? You get up, you do this, you do that. It's such a routine. You go to the same job. Some of you had it for 30 years. Some of you had it for 10, whatever. You go to that job, you do this, you live, you come home, you do this, that, and the other. And a lot of it's the same old same. You go to the desk, the same desk, and there you run the same machine. You do whatever, but is there more to it in life? Yes, there's much more to it, and you know there's more to it. It's a work fit to live for. I'm talking about kingdom work. I'm talking about something that'll motivate you to help somebody. And you say, well, I'm just a good person that way. Well, I know you're a good person, but something inside you has to motivate you, and I believe it's the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit motivating us to do those good things. Something besides just the quote, routines of life. Paul, he said something about that in Philippians 1:12 on the screen. Now I want you to know, brothers. He's saying, pay attention. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He's in prison. He's been beaten and all sorts of things we could get into here. But the deal is, hey, I'm still motivated to spread the gospel. I'm still motivated about this subject, Jesus Christ. Well, hey, wait a minute. I'm not in prison. You're not in prison. Hey, I've not been beaten today because of my faith or what have you, and you haven't either. So what motivates us? Do we have to go to prison to be motivated? Do we have to be beaten to be motivated? I hope not. Saw the video of Samuel Stevens, the president of the India Gospel League, and he was giving some wonderful numbers about 2017, how many churches had been built and how many all this, that, and the other, and it was really good news. But at the end of it, he gave some bad news that recently a pastor of the India Gospel League was shot to death. Another one was beaten to death. And that was down in the south, and a lot of that happens in the north, but this one was in the south, beaten to death because he was spreading the gospel. You know, as far as I know, I'm not going to be beat to death. I hope I'm not. But they still spread the gospel. They're still motivated. One of them gets shot to death because of Jesus. One of them gets beat to death because of Jesus. And they're still motivated more than ever to spread the gospel. What will motivate us in America? Will it take the persecution to really get us to thinking again of what's important? That Jesus Christ the Lord really is important? That I really need a self fit to live with? That I need a faith strong enough to live by? And I need a work fit to live for? And that work is the kingdom of God. That work is the gospel being spread here and around the world. Verse 20 on the screen, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. By what? Life or death. He says, you know, either way, I want that motivation. See, Paul's motivation here, it's more than a job. It's more than the life cycle or whatever we want to call it. His motivation was Christ. His motivation was magnifying Jesus Christ and spreading that gospel. And you say, good, that's good for Paul. God called Paul to do that. He can do it, but I can't. Yes, we can. Yes, we can, because we're called by the same God. We're filled with the same Holy Spirit that Paul was. It's not just for Paul. It's for us today, too. And I pray we'll have a revival in our own land. Good for Paul, yes. Well, good for us, too, because we need to be living like he was. So what's it mean to excel or to have spiritual excellence? What are we talking about? Jesus went around with the crew, so to speak, and we can name some names. But you know when Jesus said two words, and it was follow me, follow me. Okay, it wasn't a big drawn out whatever. James, John, follow me. It wasn't hard to figure out. It was two words, follow me. And they did. So what about us? Is Jesus still saying, follow me? You better believe he is. He's saying, follow me. That's what he wants us to do. Matthew did, Andrew, John, follow me. They did. So discipleship's got to be definite to be like Christ, because it drives us to live holy lives. It drives us, it motivates us to see the Word for the Word, to see Jesus for Jesus, to see the power of the Holy Spirit for the power of the Holy Spirit, and to follow Him when we're being His disciple. So what's it mean to follow Jesus again? What's it mean to have spiritual excellence? Follow me. You can remember that. Follow me. To do that, what do we have to do? Okay, well, the fishermen, they were just fishing. Jesus says, follow me. And what did they do? They dropped their nets. And they started following Jesus. It's kind of cut and dry. Follow me. Dropped their nets. And they went on to follow Jesus. If he says, Ron, I want you to follow me. If he calls your name today and he says, Jones Chapel, I want you to follow me, what's that mean for us? Well, I don't have a fishing net. Okay? But it means that we drop our personal agendas. We drop our personal program. And we follow Jesus and his plan. We got to do something with that self that we talked about. We got to have a self fit to live with. That self inside has got to be programmed by the Spirit of Almighty God to be pleasing to Jesus, to make prayer priority, to make discipleship definite. The Spirit of God must help us with those things so we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We can spread the gospel around the world. So we got to be connected. We got to be his disciple. We've got to not be so selfish. Andrew, Peter, James, and John, I'm fishing. I want you to follow me. And they dropped their business. And they went with Jesus. They dropped their nets. Matthew, you remember him, the tax collector? He said, I want you to follow me. He did. Switch from serving self to serving Jesus. And you say, preacher, now wait a minute. I'm not that selfish. I look in the mirror, and if I really ask myself, am I selfish? I don't like the answer many times. I try to give, I try to preach, I try to serve God. But if we really look in the mirror and just see how selfish we are versus selfishness in us and serving in the kingdom of God, I'm going to tell you, sometimes that selfishness is on top. And I don't believe it's just me. I believe it's all of us. Now, you might write me a letter and tell me something different. See, we might have a place of employment. We might have jobs and responsibilities to do, and we're to do those well, according to the Bible. But our real job is to be a disciple. Whether this is my vocation and this is the job I go to every day, we're to do that job well. It's our responsibility, and we're to do it well, whatever it is. Many, many different professions and titles. But as a Christian, as a Christ follower, we're to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to be spreading his gospel everywhere we go. Somebody says, well, I went to college and I got a major in whatever and I got a minor in whatever. Our major and our minor. Our major is to be focused on Jesus Christ and be his disciple. And our minor can be our job or life or however you want to phrase that. My major task. What's your major task in life, if somebody asks you? What is your major task? It's to be moved by the Spirit of God on a daily basis. To be moved by the Spirit of God on a daily basis. If that's the major task, for us to be moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the will of God on a daily basis, then I believe that loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, spreading the gospel, making prayer priority and discipleship definite, if then that we're being Christ-like, we're allowing him to move us on a daily basis, we'll see those things happen. Oh yes, we've got many other responsibilities in life, but we got to dig in to the truth. We got to dig into what's important. We got to dig into what, how and what, and we can make the biggest difference in the what? In the kingdom of God. If you got your life and your responsibilities here and you got the kingdom of God over here, just how much time do you give the kingdom of God? How much time do we give the kingdom of God versus over here, ourself and our projects and our whatever? Well, as a disciple, we've got to know, hey, listen, today I might be out in the dirt working. I might be filthy. I might be whatever doing this job or that job. But you know what? I'm going to do my best at that job. But do you know what? My main thing here today is to be moved by the Spirit of God. And whoever I run into and whatever I'm doing out here, dirty and filthy or whatever, is to proclaim the gospel and to be Christ-like. Well, hey, I might be on vacation today and I might be way over here or way down there or whatever, but my main goal here is to be moved by the Spirit of God today, because I'll run into somebody on the street of Gatlinburg, I'll run into somebody at the beach, I can be a witness over here or wherever I'm at today. I want to be moved by the will of God to be Christ-like, to follow him, to be a student of the word. So much more to life when Jesus is at the center. When Jesus is at the center. When the focus is on Jesus. When the subject is Jesus. There's so much more to life. Yes, we do all these other things that we must do to live and carry on. But at the center of it all is Jesus Christ, the Lord. So, do you have a self fit to live with? Well, you see, when you look in the mirror, a self fit to live with, is there any adjusting that needs to take place? Right here's a good place to be adjusted. I go to the doctor, and one of his favorite phrases, he says, I'm going to tune you up a little bit. That ain't no big problem. I'm going to tune you up a little bit. He tunes me up, he says. You come before the Savior of the world today, and you might need to say to Jesus, I need you to tune me up today. I need you to tune me up a little bit today. You have a faith fit to live by? Every day you have that faith to live by, whether it's raining on your parade, whether the sun's shining, the good or the bad, your heart breaks with grief, you lose a loved one and it's terrible and you're grieving, or you have a newborn baby, or it's all this stuff in between life and death, and there's so much thrown at us at one time sometimes. But guess what? I've got a faith. I've got a faith fit to live by. And no matter what the day brings, I'm going to be okay with Jesus. A work fit to live for. What motivates you? How about the kingdom of God? How about the work of Almighty God? Are we willing to sacrifice what it takes that the kingdom of God goes forward? Are we really willing to make prayer a priority? To move heaven, it seems, to earth through prayer, through discipleship? I hope we are, because it's time to do just that. So I'm glad you're here today. I reassure you, Jesus loves you. And wherever you find yourself today, there's hope in Jesus Christ the Lord, no matter where you're at. So number one, are you saved? Have you give your life to the Lord? Have you asked for forgiveness of sin? You living for Him? Yes or no? First steps to be saved. After that, there's many things of growth and opportunity. And making a disciple is certainly what we're to do. Would you stand with me this morning? Our Father, again today, we thank You and we praise You for Your goodness to us. You have blessed us richly. You have helped us in many, many areas of life. And we thank You. And today, God, as we asked ourselves the question about ourself, is it fit to live with? We asked ourselves, and really we're asking You, do I need a little tune-up today? Have I let life and the things that I have to attend to every day get before my motivation and love for God? Is my faith where it needs to be? Am I focused on the kingdom work of God, or am I just focused on my little old agenda? Well, Lord, You know the answer in all of our hearts and our minds. And Father, as we pray, we'll impact this community and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we pray today that You would break down any barriers or any walls that would be between us and You, and that we would truly love You with all of our heart, soul, and our mind, our total being, that You would adjust us and tune us up today. So Father, here we are as we stand before Almighty God, asking for You to reveal Yourself to us, asking that You in the power of the Holy Spirit speak directly to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.